Thank you, Mr. Chief. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's really a pleasure to me to be here in front of you and make a presentation on the implementation of the experience of the productive safety net program of the government of Ethiopia. The first speakers were trying to talk about nutrition, the micronutrients, and nutrition and relation of nutrition with agriculture. But now I'll try to shift you to see on the different interventions that are contributing to addressing of vulnerabilities in the country. There are different definitions for food security. We don't have one defined definition for food security, but what widely agreed on the definition of food security is it refers to availability of sufficient food to all peoples at all times to have an active and healthy life. So from this definition, we understood that the availability of food, accessibility of food, utilization of food, and stability. This also mentioned by Professor during her previous speaking, and also yesterday from my days, it tried to indicate that the definition of food security on this angle. So when I'm looking to this angle and having of all this at one, we cannot say that the entire population in Ethiopia do have food security. There are areas where we do have a lack of this. So this indicates that there is food insecurity in the country. Recently, there is a census conducted by the Central Statistical Agency, and that census indicates that 29.2% of the people are living below the poverty lines, and this is one of the indicators to have food insecurity in the country. There are many, many factors that are contributing to our food insecurity in the countries, but I'll try to mention the major ones among them. Drought, environmental degradation, population pressure, flood, limited in technology utilization, and limited access to credit are among the others who are contributing to our food insecurity in the countries. A record shows that in the past 2 to 3 decades, that is 20 or 30 years back, and worse years, millions of people in the drought-prone areas of the country could face food shortage, which are either chronic or transitory in nature. Then to address the need of these people, the government will make an appeal to the development partners to mobilize the resource, and using that resource, by making available of that resource, the government has tried to save lives. This is really an encouraging effort done by the government. However, we are not improving livelihood. So by understanding of that fact, the government, in collaboration with the development partners, has developed the new Coalition for Food Security in Ethiopia. And since 2003, this program has been implemented in 319 districts in the country. The core objective of the food security program is enabling of chronically food insecure households, attain food security at the household level, and improving the food security situation of the transitory food insecure household. So it has two objectives: enabling the chronically food insecure households, attain food security, and improving of the transitory food insecure peoples to have a better food security situation at household levels. To happen this, the program has 4 components: the resettlement program, the productive safety net program, the household asset building program, which you call it in short, HAB, the complementary community investment programs. These are the 4 components of the program, but for the sake of time, I will only focus on the productive safety net program. The productive safety net program do have 2 objectives. The first one is a smoothing of food gap of the chronically food insecure households and protect asset depletion at the household level. And the second component is creation of community asset at the household levels. The productive safety net program do have 2 components, the direct support component and the public health component. The direct support component ensures support to households who lack labor, who have no other means of support, and who are chronically food insecure. These people entitled to receive unconditional transfer, whereas the able-bodied households targeted for PSNP will be participated in public work and they will be paid for their labor spent in the public work. This breaks the dependency syndrome. When they are making payment to these people, to the able-bodied people, they consider the payment as a payment for their labor contribution, not considered as a grant or a food aid. So we want to break this dependency syndrome through making them of participating in the public works. When I'm looking to the PSNE program, the PSNE program is area specific and household specific. When I mean area specific, it covers food insecure districts in drought prone areas. Doesn't cover the entire area of the country. It's focused on drought prone areas. So it covers 8 regions, and in these 8 regions, it covers 319 districts. And when I say household specific, it focuses only on chronically food insecure households. So far, by this time, to date, we do have around 6.8 million people supported through the safety net programs. When we are starting the program, it was 8.29, but the number decreased because of the graduation of the people reaching to the level of graduation, that means being food self-sufficient. And how we are targeting these people? We are following off two levels of targeting, the administrative targeting and the community targeting. The administrative targeting follows the historical data. Those households who have been received food aid in the past 10 years were being used as a starting point to identify the chronically food insecure households. And from that, we took the recent 3 years, and in these 3 years, those households who have been received food aid without any break in continued manner will be eligible to be target for or eligible to the PSNE program. This is administrative targeting. Once we do administrative targeting and identified the areas, we conduct community-based targeting approach. In this, the community will identify the households, the poorest of the poor in their communities, and based on their wealth rankings, they identify the poorest of the poor and list the number of beneficiaries to be eligible for the PSNE programs. Once they are identified, they come up to the General Assembly meeting and read out the listed household eligible for this program for discussion and endorsement by the committees. Then once these peoples are endorsed by the committee, they will be eligible to participate on the PSNEP programs. There is also a criteria set to identify the household eligible for PSNEP program. The first one is that household has to be a member of that committee. Then, even though he is a member of that committee, this household has to be chronically food insecure household who face continuous food shortage, a food shortage of 3 and above months every year for a continuous years. In addition to this, those households who suddenly become more food insecure as a result of a severe loss of asset and are therefore unable to meet their food needs are also considered to be eligible for the program. What are the resources that we do have for this program? Our resources for implementation of the PSNE program are cash resources as well as food resources. And for making available of the resources, we do have a principle, that cash first principle. The cash first principle helps to motivate the producer to sell their products at a fair price in the local market. So we inject cash resources. By injecting cash resources into PSNP order to the PSNP beneficiaries, that will stimulate market to the producer to the better of people living in the PSNP areas. And with regard to the size of transfer is 15 kgs of cereals per person per month for 6 months, starting from January to June. And the cash resource is equivalent enough to procure the intended cage of cereals. I think I have mentioned this one, not need to the type and amount of transfer. I have already mentioned transfer are provided to household on a monthly basis for six consecutive months, starting from January to June. December is an harvest time that households do have grains in their zone, so no need to make a resource transfer to them on during that time. But we are trying to fill their food gaps, smooth their food gaps, so we are trying to make avail of that resource during the dry period from January to June. And all PCN beneficiaries receive the same transfer, whether they are participating in direct support or participating in the public work. And the cash and food resource is set just to fill their food gap. We are not setting off the wage to be a market wage, but we are trying to fill their food gap. So we are calculating 2,200 kilocalories per person per day, and we are putting off the grains equivalent to that amount, and the money should be sufficient enough to buy this amount of grain. And the participation on cash transfer as well as food transfer is also on the preference of the program beneficiaries. In the areas where there is a shortage of food in the local market, if you are injecting the cash resource, that does not help the program beneficiaries to buy food. So we prefer to make it cash, grains. Then the other company is the public work. Public works are labor-intensive community asset sub-project designed to address the underlying cause of chronic food insecurity through the provision of employment for chronically food insecure households. That is creation of jobs for the poor households living in the program areas. To implement the program, we do have seven principles. The first one is labor-based. All public works projects should be labor-intensive and use simple tools as much as possible. And participation. The committee will participate in the identification of, on the selection of the public works to be implemented, as well as they will participate starting from planning up to implementation of the program. And predictability. Once we plan to have this program, from the very beginning, we have to secure the resource. Otherwise, after starting of the program, if we are trying to mobilize the resource, we will not be succeeding in implementing. So there should be predictability of resource and proximity. The committee has to go a short distance, and a work distance not less than an hour to the public source. Otherwise, if you are making them to go long distance, it's a wastage of time and resource. Integrations that public works implemented through this program beneficiary should be part of the district development plan, and we are incorporating and indicating the development plan, and we follow the watershed approach. And lastly, the principle will follow the SMF guideline. All the public works that we are going to implement should be environmentally friendly. And the type of the public works focus mainly on soil and water conservation, small-scale irrigation, water harvesting, water supply, afforestation, and construction of social services, clinics, schools, and the likes. Just to show you some of the slides on what type of public works implemented in the program areas, just because of the time limitation, I just highlight that picture to you for your understanding. Then the ultimate goal of the program is graduation, making people to lift up from the level of food insecurity to the level of food security. By doing this so far, we have graduated around 3 million people who are reaching to the level of graduation are graduating from the programs. So what is the intended impact of the programs? The program have two impacts, impact at the household level and impact at the community level. The program, for the households, the program aims to smooth food consumption gap and prevent asset depletion. That is to keep them from falling further into extreme poverty, and for communities, it creates an environment more conducive to economic growth. You have seen from the slides, and poverty reduction through greater access to social, physical, and market infrastructure and enhancing of the natural resource. But when we are implementing this, we are not implementing everything in a smooth way. There is a challenge. That's my last slides. We have problem in targeting. Initially, when we are planning for the safety net program, there was a favoritism of making of the families a relative to be a member of that, the coordination problem, and the capacity. as well as the staff turnover. We are implementing the program in drought-prone areas where there is harsh weather situation, so challenge is there, and also resource transfer to the program. We are not making available the resource on time to the needy peoples, because from federal to region, from region to district, and then to the communities, through the community to reach to the clients, it takes time, so there was a delay on that. And there is also a lack of quality of some of the public, especially with regard to water projects as well as road projects. Due to technical problem, we were facing a challenge, but now we are improving and we are in a better of in handling of the program. This is my presentation short. Thank you.